When it comes to tragic Celtic legends, most fans would identify the death of John Thomson as standing out. And indeed, this was truly an awful story. But one early Celt had his own tale of woe, with a life that featured injuries, the poorhouse, the army, and even prison. And worst of all, it came to an end in awful circumstances, all within the shadow of Celtic Park. This is the story of early Celtic hero Mick McKeown. McKeown was born in 1869 in Dalmellington in Ayrshire. Like many other early Celts, both of his parents were Irish. As with many other men in Ayrshire, Mick initially worked as a miner. This may well have been the role he expected to carry out for his entire life. However, McKeown had one route of escape from this hard existence. He was a very skilled footballer, playing as a back or a defender. He turned out for Ayrshire team Lugar Boswell. This was a side that had produced notable players such as James McGee and Jimmy McLaren, who would go on to appear for Hibernian and Celtic. As such, Mick also came to the attention of the Edinburgh Irish. Eventually, he was persuaded to leave Ayrshire and move eastwards to play for Hibs. There, he enjoyed some local success and gradually became to build for himself an impressive reputation. On various occasions, his form was noted by the men seeking players for the newly formed Celtic side. Most obviously, this happened on the 8th of May 1888. The original Celtic Park was opened with a grand exhibition match, which didn't feature the home team. Instead, Hibernian and Cowlairs played out a 0-0 draw, with Mick starring for the East Coast men. As a result of this, he was attracted west to sign for Celtic. When in Glasgow, McKeown made his living by owning a pub. Paying players was illegal at this point, but most big clubs broke this rule. Pub ownership was a method that Celtic sometimes used to secretly pay players. However, money would prove to be a problem when it came to Celtic and McKeown's relationship. Mick's first game for the boys was in August 1888 in the Glasgow Exhibition Cup. This came in a 1-1 draw with Abercorn, with the Celts making it through after the Paisley men later scratched or declined to play in the replay. This had been Celtic's first ever competitive game. In the next round, Mick again turned out as Celtic secured their first competitive victory, a 3-1 win over Dumbarton Athletic. The boys eventually went on to reach their first final, and Mick played as Celtic lost 2-0 to North Glasgow team Cowlairs. September 1888 also saw Mick and Celtic first play in a competition which still exists. The boys' Scottish Cup bout came in a 5-1 win over Shettleston. This was another competition in which Celtic got to the final that season. With McKeown playing in defence, the Celts lost to Fird Lanark. Celtic and Mick would reach one more final in the club's opening season, and this had a much brighter outcome. Matches in those days were a mixture of friendlies, alongside national, regional and local contests. As such, Celtic entered the Glasgow Northeastern Cup. By May 1889, the boys had reached the final, and again their opponents were Cowlairs, who had defeated the Celts in the Exhibition Cup final. This time, it couldn't have been any more different. Celtic trounced them 6-1 to claim the club's first competition win. The boys retained this trophy the following year, and Mick collected his first badges, or medals, when playing for Celtic. 1889 also saw a notable personal event in McKeown's life, when he married Margaret Quillan. The ceremony took place in St Mary's Church in the Carlton, the scene of Celtic's foundation. In recognition of his marriage, Celtic gave him a financial gift. However, the marriage was not a happy one, and the two later parted company, albeit without getting a divorce. As a tough tackling defender, Mick was very popular with Celtic fans. And it wasn't just for the Celts that Mick was renowned. He was an internationalist too, and one of the first two Celtic players to represent Scotland. He did this alongside Willie Groves against Northern Ireland in March 1889 in a comfortable 7-0 win. Mick played once more for his country in a 1-1 draw with England in 1890. He had been due to play another match as well against Wales, but he missed this owing to the death of a family member. In later times, McKeown would get the nickname The Wanderer, owing to the number of clubs he played for and the places he lived. It was fitting, therefore, that he featured as Celtic began to play games further afield. He was part of the Celtic teams that first played and won outside of Scotland. Celtic lost 3-1 to Corinthians in London in February 1889, and then beat Newcastle West End 4-3 the following month. In 1890, a new Scottish league was formed. Celtic were to have poor fortunes in this inaugural season, and even at one stage were deducted points for playing an ineligible player. Mick played as Celtic unusually had two first games. In the opening day of the league season in August 1890, the boys lost 4-1 to Renton. However, the Dumbartonshire men were later thrown out of the league and their results annulled. As such, Celtic's first official league game is recorded as a 5-0 win over Hearts at Tynecastle, and the first home game was a 5-2 victory over Cambuslang. Mick featured in all of these matches. The latter part of the season was arguably Mick's high point in a Celtic jersey. In February 1891, Celtic went to the second Hampden Park, where they played third Lanark in the Glasgow Cup final. The boys' 4-0 win is considered to be the club's first major trophy, given the importance of this competition in that era. Despite Mick's success and popularity with fans, he wasn't always happy at Celtic Park. At various times, he simply went missing for periods or failed to turn up for games, sometimes due to transportation problems. However, there was a suspicion that these absences were connected with a desire to leave. In one 1891 instance, Celtic were due to play Rangers at Ibrox in the league. The Scottish Sport reported that McKeown informed one of our representatives that it is not his intention to play in this match. In the end, that game was postponed, and Mick did put on the green and white shirt for the Celts' next fixture. McKeown's main cause of complaint was to do with money. On one occasion, it was claimed that he punched a Celtic committee member because of a financial argument. There was also a strong rumour he was going to go to Glasgow Hibernian, a team set up as an Irish rival to Celtic. Through his wife, there were family links to this new Glasgow team, but he remained at Celtic Park. Eventually, Mick's head was turned by the higher footballing wages available in England. In the summer of 1891, he went south, but a newspaper report said that McKeown is away on holiday only. This proved to be untrue. In July, he made the switch to Lancashire to play for Blackburn Rovers. It was an eventful time, with enough stories to fill a book on its own. In one bizarre event, he was wrongly accused of killing an opposition player during a match. Joe Schofield played for Stoke and clashed with Mick during a game. Some newspapers later reported that Schofield had died, but this proved to be untrue, and the Englishman played on for years afterwards. On another occasion, Mick sustained a serious injury in a strange training ground incident. He was said to be joking about by standing in a washing sink, but instead fell and sliced open his leg, resulting in a hospital visit and a sustained absence. McKeown did once come back to Celtic Park as a player, but it was wearing the colours of Blackburn. In October 1891, the English side came to Celtic Park for a friendly. Mick was well received by supporters, with one report saying he was awarded a hearty clap when he stepped onto the field. However, he returned to Lancashire disappointed after losing 3-2. Overall, Mick's time in England was of only limited success. There were rumours linking him with moves to Everton or Sunderland, but instead, by 1892, he was back in Scotland. He had hoped to return to Celtic, but was not needed, with the boys having brought in legendary player Dan Doyle to replace him. Instead, and reflecting the Wanderer nickname which was sometimes attached to him, he played for multiple sides across Scotland, including Cowlairs, Motherwell, Fair City Athletic, Carfin and Hibs. At one point, he was even suspended by the Scottish FA from playing due to signing for two teams at the same time. Any hopes that Mick had of ever again reaching the top footballing heights had one major obstacle. He was an alcoholic. As a result of this, he bounced around multiple jobs, cities, towns and football teams without ever finding somewhere that he could really call home. This was especially the case once his marriage fell apart. His jobs at this time included being a miner, a dyer, a navvy, and a labourer. He even had a spell in the army, although was incredibly bad at this, receiving a scathing discharge report for his efforts. Among the many teams for which McEwan sometimes turned out, one of them was as a guest player in a Glasgow Police 11. Unfortunately, his relations with the law were usually less friendly. He was often to be found in criminal trouble. At different times, he was arrested in locations across Scotland. On one strange occasion, he said to the police that his name was Robert Burns, perhaps reflecting his Ayrshire origins. Following these arrests, he spent time in jails such as Barlinnie and Aberdeen Prison for different petty crimes. This often involved stealing or sleeping in places he shouldn't, including factories or industrial buildings. In the end, this would prove to be a fatal issue. Despite all of these problems, he had broadly been able to look after himself. However, at some point in the early 1900s, possibly following the death of his mother in 1900, this was no longer the case. He fell further into alcoholism and at some point suffered serious burns in an accident, which left him unable to work. As such, he soon had to rely on what limited public support there was for the poor. The poorhouse, known as the workhouse in England, was a Scottish institution where people could go as an absolute last resort if living in poverty. Twice in 1902 he went to live in the Ayr poorhouse, and in 1903 he was back, having initially applied to go to the Glasgow poorhouse. This is an example of the very different financial lives that footballers lived in the early 1900s. McEwan was far from the only player to suffer the humiliation of going to the poorhouse. When Mick made his Scotland debut, he did so alongside another Celt, Willie Groves, who scored a hat-trick that day. Both men would later fall into penury and be forced to seek poor relief. On the 24th of October 1903, Mick was in the East End of Glasgow. Celtic played Hearts that day, but it's not known if he watched them. That night, almost certainly very drunk, he looked for somewhere to sleep, trying to escape from the torrential rain that had been falling throughout the day. Eventually, he came to the site of Robert Paul Bottleworks. McEwan's chosen shelter was a lime kiln. This proved to be a fatal mistake. The next day, his dead body was discovered by workers. He had suffocated when in the kiln, a sad and awful ending to any life. The Robert Paul Bottleworks was in Broad Street. Some people have wrongly assumed that this is the Broad Street which is located in Brigton, but this is not the case. Instead, Broad Street was in Kimlaki and is now part of Bigger Street, next to the Ford Retail Park. The Bottleworks was near the modern site of Pets at Home, just over half a mile from the original Celtic Park where Mick made his name, and it is also visible from the upper tiers of the modern Celtic Park. After McEwan's body and identity were discovered, he faced a pauper's grave owing to his financial problems. However, Celtic stepped in to pay for his funeral, ensuring him some dignity in death. He is buried in Dalbeth Cemetery near Celtic Park. This is in the lair of his Quillan family in-laws, despite having long been estranged from his wife, Margaret. McEwan's name will never be as revered as other early Celts, like James Kelly, Dan Doyle or Willie Mailey. But his contribution to the club's development deserves to be better remembered. His achievements include playing in the first game at the original Celtic Park whilst appearing for Hibs, winning Celtic's first trophy in the 1889 Glasgow North Eastern Cup, appearing in numerous Celtic first games, such as the first Scottish Cup and first league matches, winning Celtic's first major trophy, the 1891 Glasgow Cup, and also being one of the first two Celts to play for Scotland. Mick McEwan may have been a troubled man, but he was a hugely important early Celt, and like so many other forgotten men, helped create the club that we now have. If you want to learn more about Celtic history, follow Hail Hail History on Twitter X or Blue Sky. You can also take part in free Celtic history walking tours. Visit celticwalkingtours.wordpress.com for more information.